take your Bibles and turn to Revelation, chapter 3, Revelation 3. And we'll start with verse 20, which is our memory verse for lesson number 12. And if you need lesson number 12, raise your hand. And we have Brother Jim Collins back from the flu, ready to pass those out for you. Anyone need lesson number 12? The title, The Arrogant Church of Laodicea, covering Revelation 3, 14 to 22. All right, Brother Collins, you again did your job very, very well. And I'm strongly considering doubling your pay again. Don't rush to anything. All right, we'll wait. But anyway, the Arrogant Church of Laodicea and lesson number 12. Our memory verse, Revelation 3:20. I do want to remind you this verse, we typically use this as a soul-winning verse, many do, and I'm not opposed to that necessarily, but I do want you to realize the main context of this verse is to Christian people, and you'll understand that as we go through this lesson. It is to Christian people, and I realize, again, you know, you can use it for unsaved people, but you know, God wants to fellowship with his people. God wants to, he wants to have a close relationship with his people. He wants us to need him. By the way, we need him no matter what. We need him. We don't always think we do, and that's the problem. And that was the problem with the Laodicean church. They had need of nothing. They had everything. They had their paycheck every week. They had their two-car garage with two cars in it. They had their nice homes. They had their properties. They had their security, their 401ks, and you know, they had everything. So the Christian people, having all those things, didn't need God. And when you don't need God, it shows in your life. It really does show for somebody who needs God. It becomes very obvious. But especially the Lord, he wants that fellowship. So let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference and the verse and then the reference and begin. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. And again, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Thank you so much, Father, for that invitation. And Lord, we're certainly missing out when we don't open that door of fellowship. We are the ones that miss out on having just a sweet, sweet time of fellowship with you. And as Adam and Eve missed out because of their sin, I'm afraid that often that's why we miss out, because we get away from you and maybe we're ashamed. And so I pray that you'd help us to want that fellowship and certainly to know that we need you. We need you every hour, as the song says, every hour, all the time we need you. And I pray that we would see that, and we would not be ever like the folks at Laodicea. Bless now this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we move to the last letter, to the last church. Again, we're in a section 2, dealing with Revelation chapters 2 and 3, called the Announcement to the Seven Churches. And these letters written to the seven churches, each section is ended with, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And so we recognize that these letters were not specific just for these churches, although they had specific issues, but they're for all of us to read and all of us to understand. It is for us to obviously see ourselves, and we've as we've studied this, certainly we see ourselves there. We see our church and our lives, and the Laodicean age, many have said this is a Laodicean age that we're in today, and certainly that would be hard to argue as you look around at so many who probably, and they would never admit this, but if the rapture took place, they're kind of in it. Well, I say if the rapture took, if the Holy Spirit were removed, well, that's another bad way to put it. But let's just put it this way. They're not really counting on the Lord for anything in their services. And that only comes because Christians don't count on the Lord. And they don't need him. They don't need what he has to offer. They, altar call after altar call, they will say, not interested, don't want it, don't need it. And it's so unfortunate, it's so sad, and we get that way, all of us. We have one time or another, and it is a certainly something that grieves the Holy Spirit of God when we have need of nothing. We don't need God at all. So let's start, as we have, with our outline here. Number one is the city. It does say, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. This was a city called Laodicea. It is located 90 miles due east of Ephesus. Of course, we started with Ephesus, and literally it makes kind of a U shape as far as these different letters to the churches. They're in order according to that U shape. And Ephesus then ending up with Laodicea, Ephesus and Laodicea would be right across from each other, so almost 90 miles due east of Ephesus was Laodicea, and our last church, Philadelphia, Laodicea is about 45 miles southeast of Philadelphia, and Laodicea was founded by Antiochus II and named after his wife. That was a very common woman's name, the name Laodicea, and so again, that is kind of some history. It was a banking center, very wealthy city, and the people were very wealthy. And again, you contrast that with the church at Philadelphia that we just finished. And again, we're reminded that you know, it takes all kinds of people. God will save He'll save anyone. And the people in Philadelphia, the church was kind of on the outskirts, more poor people. Well, the Laodiceans were very wealthy people, and there were beautiful temples there. There were beautiful theaters there. Some of the temples were very famous back then. Again, temple simply means religious. They had their religion there, and I'm reminded that it's sad to say that so many times our belief kind of leans toward whatever is going on in the world, and in Laodicea you had wealthy religions there and wealthy people, and then it would only make sense then, or it doesn't make sense, but it's a testimony of how we are, that instead of being old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, radical, nut Baptist, the people would kind of say, well, you know, look at them, and we'll kind of slide as close as we can to them. That's how it is today. That's the church, most churches today, instead of just sticking to the old-fashioned way, they're kind of going away from that and kind of looking at what the world's doing and looking at what everybody else is doing. And trying to become like that. I hear it all the time. I hear of independent, fundamental Baptist churches, Bible-believing churches, you know, that used to be soul-winning, used to be bus ministry, used to be becoming more like what everybody else is doing today, canceling their services for everything. Pretty soon, there will be no Sunday night services. Pretty soon, no midweek service. Pretty soon, well, we'll just meet in people's homes and we'll you know, eat a meal and that. No altar call. That's not popular anymore. No hard preaching. We wouldn't want that because people get offended. And so on and so forth. We call those Burger King churches. Have it your way. And so as we think about that mentality of man, we imagine now this independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church in this wealthy community with wealthy people, and you know, they want to kind of keep up with the Joneses, if you will. Something just to kind of keep in the back of your mind. Medical school was very, very prominent there. They were known for their eye salve. I give you bonus points if you know what the name of that eye salve was. Bonus points today. It could really help you in the future. It is called Solarium. You can write that down. Nobody's writing. I'm hurt. Solarium. C-E-L-L-Y-R-I-U-M. Solarium. And ISAV, we will talk about that ISAV later on. And anyway, they were, you know, it was invented there, and they were known for their ISAV manufacture of rich garments, wools, and colored wools. And there were several mineral streams around Laodicea. It was a beautiful, beautiful city. Again, in contrast to some of these other cities, it was very, very different. Lots and lots of wealth, and you could see it in the city. And that is the city. Number two is the characteristic of Christ. Again, this has been true with every letter, that in the beginning of the letter, it is signed. And that was a custom of that day, to sign your letter and to really to introduce who is writing the letter. And so verse 14, no exception, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith. And so that's how we would have signed it, these things saith. Well, this is how they begin it. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And so we've called that, number two, the characteristic of Christ, because each of the letters has as the signature, if you will, a characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, that is what the book of Revelation is all about Jesus. And so it would only stand to reason that we would have to analyze why it's signed this way to the Laodiceans. And again, every time it has been significant. Every time, each letter, it was significant the way the characteristic that Christ gave of himself in the signing of the letter. It says, these things saith the Amen. Notice I said Amen. I'm not an amener, I'm an amener. Amen. But anyway, the Amen. Amen means verily. Amen means truly. Amen. It means so be it. All right? And so thus saith the Amen. And I believe that here Jesus echoes the work of the Father and the word of the Father with agreement, with a good hearty Amen. It means it is true. It is so. You know, no question about it. This is how it is. These things saith the Amen. And that's why we say Amen. By the way, that's why it's okay to say Amen. Now, I don't think anybody should say Amen just to hear themselves say Amen. I think you should say Amen when you agree. A lot of times a preacher wonders if anybody agrees. Oh, me. And by the way, the reason I say Amen is because I can say Amen, and I can't say Amen. You just can't really get loud with Amen. But anyway, I'm just trying to help some of you because you got that look, you know, and when you have that look, it's kind of scary. But it just means I agree. So be it. Thus saith the Lord. I agree. And that is significant. You will see that here in a minute, because it goes on and it says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Now, I'll be honest with you. I like the word true, and I like the word truth. I am so tired of people being afraid to tell the truth. Aren't you tired of that today? I mean, in our world today, we're creating, we're inventing different words just so we can avoid the truth. We're skating around issues because nobody wants to tell the truth. The elephant in the room usually is the truth. It's just simply the truth. Politicians are so bad about this. In fact, anymore, we have no idea who we can believe because nobody wants to tell the truth. Nobody wants to say it. You know, well, we might hurt someone's feelings. You know, I use this illustration all the time because we all can identify with it. You know, I thank God for a doctor that tells the truth. You know, now, you know, I realize in the medical profession today, they have to be careful. Well, we might get sued, you know. But I'm so glad years ago I had an eye doctor tell me that I had glaucoma. And because he could have just said, everything's fine, all's well, and by now I'd be blind. Because that was many years ago, and I've been on being treated for years. And I thank God that I had a doctor that said, you're fat. You know, I mean, he just, you know, they write in their notes, morbidly obese. But if you read that and you read morbidly obese, you know, I mean, that's bad. I said, you know, just be blunt with me. Okay, you're fat. Amen. I know, you know, so and we sit here today, it's kind of like, yeah, but preacher, you know, I mean, I want to hear good news. Do you want to hear the truth or do you not want to hear the truth? Okay, that's the whole point. I am so tired. You know, churches today, it says we are, you know, they may say we are relevant. Okay, what in the world does that mean? What does relevant mean? Relevant to what? I'm really not on a kick, and I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. I just relevant. That's a big word today. I can't think of one of the other words. They have all these little catch words. Everybody, oh, that feels good. You know what? Truth. Churches just need to tell the truth. You know, Christians, we need to tell the truth. The Bible says speaking the truth in love. And people need the truth. And so here we have words describing Jesus, the faithful and true witnesses. Amen. Now, witnesses, we know what a witness is. A witness is supposed to tell it like they see it, right? I mean, that's a witness. They're supposed to tell exactly what they saw. And, you know, if you've ever been a witness in a trial of any kind, you know, they don't want you to get up there and tell your opinion. They don't want you to tell, you know, you're not supposed to be for one side or that you're just a witness, okay? Tell it. What'd you hear? What'd you see? You are the witness. You tell the truth. By the way, when you stand up, you're supposed to, do you vow or affirm that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And, you know, now we're having to change words around because people get offended and all that kind of, you know, really, why can't we just, will you tell the truth or not? I will tell the truth. But anyway, that's another story, and I'm already headed for trouble. So, a witness, but you take several witnesses, all right? Let's say that you have several witnesses, and they see the same thing happen. The truth of the matter is, they're all going to tell a different story because they see it from a different perspective. One was standing here, another was standing there, another was standing back there, another was standing here, and everyone tells a different story, and everyone, it may be slanted by, you know, one might have allergy problems and their eyes are all watery and they couldn't see very well. Another one may have glaucoma like myself and they can't hardly see, and maybe they didn't have their glasses on. I mean, they saw some, but they didn't see it the same way as the guy that has perfect vision. And, you know, another one might have been having a bad day. Another one might even be a liar. I don't know. But they're not all going to tell the exact same story because truth is we're all fallible. Okay, we just mess up. We just don't always do everything perfectly. We tell the truth only as we know it. But understand, Jesus as the witness, he has perfect observation and explanation of everything. Absolutely perfect. By the way, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus has always been. I mean, he's witnessed everything from day one. He watched everything. He's seen it all. He is a perfect witness, absolutely perfect. There is no falsehood in him at all. He tells it exactly, not as He sees it. He tells it exactly, and actually it is as he sees it, but it is how it really is. He is the faithful. He is the true witness. No question about that. Look at Genesis 31, 50. Genesis 31 and verse 50. Genesis 31, 50. The Bible says, if thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. You have to understand, folks, I don't care what the deal. I don't care what all's happened. Anything you've ever done. You buy a house, you have to sign papers that say that you are who you say you are, and you have to sign papers that say that because I said that I am who I said I am, I am now signing a paper saying I am also a very honest person. And then you have to sign all these papers. You have to have somebody else sign that you're an honest person. And you have to have witnesses to the witness to the witness. And then somebody has to witness for the witness that they really are a witness. And you just have to sign all these papers. Truth of the matter is, every deal, if I say to Phyllis, I will do this, somebody already witnessed who never lies. Somebody witnessed that agreement. Somebody witnessed that she and I made an agreement, and somebody already witnessed that. He's the faithful, true witness. Whatever we say, he witnesses. He hears our words. He sees our actions. He watches us shake hands. He knows all, every bit of it. And so he is the faithful. He is the true witness with perfect observation, perfect explanation, always. Always. You say, I want to know what happened. You can talk to God. That's why when we read our Bible, we should always say, God, could you explain this to me? I don't understand. It's why when you read something, a passage of Scripture, and you don't necessarily understand it, you can always go to God and say, God, you saw it happen. Could you explain this to me? You spoke it. Could you explain this to me, God? Could you help me understand this? You are the faithful, true witness. And again, the idea of witness, some other verses, 1 John 5 and verse 9. Go back a few pages, 1 John 5, 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You have, folks, we need to understand something, that if we receive the witness of men, and we'll let a man tell us something. It always amazes me how we'll listen to men, but we won't listen to God. For example, we'll listen to our doctor, and we'll take the prescription he tells us to take. And we'll not blink an eye at it, you know? I started putting drops in my eyes, as soon as my doctor prescribed them. I didn't bat an eye. Actually, I always batted an eye when I put drops in my eyes. But I did it automatically. We'll take scribbly notes to a pharmacist who may be the next serial killer. But we'll go. We'll take it in there. We'll slap it down on the counter. We'll let him package everything up, and we'll pop that stuff in our mouth. We'll put stuff in our eyes. We'll apply things to our body. We'll do all that stuff, not question a thing. Well, they said this is what I'm supposed to do. And yet, we don't trust God, whose witness is greater. His witness is always true. It's always perfect. And there is never, never any part of falsehood in it. It was so good. I got to lead someone to the Lord the other day, and it was such a blessing because again, it was. They said, "Well, how do I know this?" I said, here's how you know it. You know it because God said it." And they just kind of looked like, "Well, that only meant." I said, "Can God lie?" Well, no, God could never lie. It's amazing how unsafe people can grasp that better than a lot of Christians can. I'm amazed at that. And I said, God can't lie. He won't lie. And God said that if you call upon him to save you, he will save you. He cannot lie. And they said, "Well, how will I know?" And I said, "You'll know because he said so." Well, what about, will there be fireworks? Will there be writing across? No, but I said, I promise you this. You do what God says to do, and he'll make sure you know. And it's so precious. The person prayed and asked Christ into their heart, and And I mean, it was like the room just changed. Everything just, it was all of a sudden, wow. What just happened? I said, well, you did what God said to do. And he does what he says, always. He always does. And we can trust him. We believe him. He is God. And so the word is our witness. And faithful. He's the faithful and true witness. What's it? Faithful, you can count on him. You can always count on God. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. He's the faithful witness. Whatever he says, it is true. True meaning there's no error at all in what God says, ever. There's no error in our Bibles. You know, as soon as somebody starts, well, you know, that's just, you know, that's outdated. That's not right. That's, you know, a better translation. You know, all that kind of stuff. Phooey on that stuff. You know, God is God, and he's given us a true, faithful witness that we do not have to worry about. We can always count on it. And so the Bible says, back at verse 14, these things saith he, amen. Again, truly, verily, so be it. Okay? These things saith he, amen, the faithful and true witness. And then he says, the beginning of the creation of God. And I think this is so significant, just all time. Okay, so he's the truth. He's the faithful witness. You can count on what he says. No question about it. And then it says, the beginning of the creation of God. And that is such a blessing. Now, here's one thing that it's not saying here, okay? It's not saying Jesus was created. Okay, there are the cults and that would say, oh yes, they just need to study their Bibles. Okay, Jesus was not created. How do you know, preacher? Go to John 1. John 1, you ought to just write this down next to these verses in your Bible. John 1 and verse 1, I quoted it already. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Okay? So the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, who? The Word. Okay? And then again, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the beginning of the creation of God, but he's not created. So what in the world does that mean? It simply means that he began all creation as the creator. He was the beginning. He started it all. He began all creation as the creator, as it says in John 1:3. Look at Colossians 1, verse 15. Again, very, very significant. So don't let it fly over your head here. Colossians 1, verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He began all creation. All right? And now, how in the world does that tie in with the church at Laodicea? All right? I'm glad you asked. Because he is the source of all creation. He's the source. Are you listening to me? The source of all creation. I'm talking about an ocean. I'm talking about a valley. I'm talking about a mountain. I'm talking about a volcano. I'm talking about the planets. I'm talking about the sun. All creation, he's the source. How arrogant of puny us to ever say, I don't need you. How foolish. Are you listening? How foolish. How ridiculous of us to think somehow We don't need him. We whose life source is not a battery pack that can be plugged in, right? We're not all plugged into the wall somewhere and just we go recharge at the end of the night. That's not our life source. You know, folks, come on. Your heart beating? Why is it? Hello? Why is it beating? Huh? You're breathing? Why are you breathing? All the stuff happening? Notice my scientific depth. All the stuff happening. Why is it happening in our bodies? Who in the world do we think we are? Seriously, who do we think we are? I told you when I years ago had heart catheterization and I was awake, and the only thing I remember watching the valves, and it was just amazing to me, and they worked just like they were supposed, you know, and by the way, it's always convenient when it works like it's supposed to work. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, one little wiggle and stuff gets pretty messed up. Who do we think we are? You know, those of us that have been in the hospital before and it was some tough stuff, and several here that have had open heart surgery and you know, who do we think we are? And God, who is the source of all creation. I mean, how arrogant in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. So here's the truth. Here's the witness. Here's the true, faithful witness who's always been, who's seen it all, who knows it all. Here, he was there when all was created. He's the source of all creation. And we dare say, I don't need you. By the way, that's what we say anytime he speaks to us and we say, I don't want to hear it. Anytime. Anytime he lays something on our heart and we say, I'm not going to do it. Anytime he says, I want to talk to you. I want to fellowship. I can help you. I can help you with your problem. I can help you with that financial need. I can help you with that health problem. I can help you with that relationship issue. I can help you with all those. And we go here, we go there, we go to other people, and we just kind of leave him out of the loop. And it's just amazing. And that's the church of Laodicea. They had need of nothing. The witness says, you have a great need. By the way, who would know the need better than the Creator? Who would know my need greater, or more so than the one who created me? Who would know our need the best? The Creator knows your need. And for you and I to ever say to him by our actions or by our words, I don't need you, God. How foolish that is. Just because we open our wallet and there's money in there. Just because, we hope. Just because we open our checkbook and we have money in the account. Just because we have a car out in the parking lot. Just because tomorrow we have a job to go to. How do we ever get the idea we don't need the Creator? Well, I went to the doctor. The doctor says I have great health. And so now we don't need God. How many people have been to a doctor and the doctor says, you have perfect health, and they died of a heart attack the next day? You know why? Because what does keep it all going? One of my friends I've mentioned to you, Brother Phil Kashanik, I'll never forget. He went to church. He was at Bible college at Fairhaven Baptist College, and he was 27 years old. His wife was expecting their first child. And he's at Bible college on Sunday, ran his bus route, went soul winning, did everything he always did. And Monday morning, like 6 o'clock in the morning, his heart just stopped. Wasn't even what they called a heart attack. His heart just stopped. just stopped. Sometimes, Brother Dale, you know, you ever think about that? It can just stop. You know, and it doesn't beep. Okay, there's not a beep, beep, you know, plug in, recharge. You know, at least your cell phone will let you know when it's getting low. It just can stop. People with aneurysms, I'm not trying to worry. People are going to think, by the way, aneurysms, I mean, it's just like that. Anytime. And somehow we get this idea that we don't need him? Really? The tornadoes that hit the other, nobody was expecting tornadoes. It's just the 1st of March. You know, nobody's expecting that weather outbreak. And I mean, it can happen so fast. But he knows. He knows about tornadoes. He knows what a low-pressure system is. He's actually smarter than Channel 13. How many times have they missed it this year? Big snow coming! You know, and the sun's shining. It's 50 degrees. And then the other day it was going to be 50 degrees and it never got above 40. Hello. You know, I had my T-shirts out. I'm ready to go out and walk. Boy, this is the coldest 59 degrees I've ever seen. And it was 39. But Blizzard Bill said, yeah, well, listen, folks, it's time we understand we need him. Ushers, we need you to come. Quickly, we got to get money. Amen. As they come, I'll just keep going. See, here's the thing. We all have great need, all of us. And God tells us over and over as we read the scripture, we understand we have a lot of needs. We really do. We have so many needs. It's amazing. The church at Laodicea said, well, because we have money, we're okay. Because we have a house, we're okay. Because we have land, we're okay. Because we have a job, we're okay. Because we have good health, we're okay. Truth of the matter is, I don't care. You may be the healthiest person here. You may have lots of money. You may have a nice house and land and all those things. Read the book of Job. Just read the book of Job, because it can all go like that in such a short time. And sometimes I'm convinced that those kinds of things do happen to us because God wants us to need him. He wants us to trust him and depend on him and need him. And, you know, it's a sad thing when we come across with the arrogance of the church of Laodicea that said they had need of nothing. Thank you so much, Father, for speaking to our hearts today and for the Word of God that is always the truth, and it's exactly what we need always, and it applies to us always. And I pray that you would help us not to ignore it. Lord, help us to realize our need. You are the source of all creation. And God, I pray that we would realize you know far more than we could ever know. And help us to listen to you, please. Bless the morning service. Bless the invitation and the decisions that we make in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take a few minutes and then we'll have the